The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, of course, and we're in the consideration of verses 19 and 20. We'll pick up on page 38 of your notes. James, in his letter to these believers, says, therefore, you know, my brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, that's the rebound technique, in humility, receive the word engrafted, implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. So this is your opportunity to be sure that you are in the right spiritual frame of mind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and we thank you for the truth that enables us to function down here in a way that glorifies you and benefits us. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I want you to look at this series again with regard to Christ and the way that Peter presents it here in verses 18 through 20. I'll read it again. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. Having been put to death in the flesh, the physical death of Christ, featured here, but made alive by the Spirit, in which, tricky on the antecedent there, in which, it doesn't state it, it is unstated, the resurrection body, that's how I see it, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison. They are described in verse 20, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. So this narrows it down to the spirits that were taken out of circulation. They are no longer free spirits of like so many, that but they were engaged in this operation to contaminate the line of Christ and negate the coming of Messiah. During the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Okay. In regards to this, we'll pick up in point 61 on page 38. I chose to go there because I got to make a correction. I got something I do not consider to be right, and I want to get it right. So in your notes, where Christ, once he got into Tartarus, or in that area, these once proud and idolized creatures cowered before the eternal and victorious Son of God. Clearly, it was to show them, because they'd been out of circulation, no flow of information to them. They were locked down in a place called Tartarus in the underworld. differentiating it from Hades, the soul, the place where the souls of unbelievers throughout history go. And then, of course, the other area where believers resided, paradise. Okay. What are we going to correct here? Just a moment. Clearly, the audience, point 62 on page 38, clearly the audience that heard Jesus' victorious proclamation was much larger. We know that more heard this. I mean, Christ is down there. Imagine a believer in paradise seeing the resurrected, glorified Messiah that they had believed in back in the day, and that's all these people see him appear there. Peter is featuring his proclamation to the angels incarcerated, the spirits, that they failed, that there was not successful. The Messiah showed up, and the line of Christ was uncontaminated, unbroken, went all the way down, as they knew when they engaged in this illicit activity. Illicit for angels, because all angels, the other statement, they left their first estate. And that doesn't refer to their fall. It refers to the fact that all angels were created to be celibate, not a counterpart, as in humans with marriage. And yet they were able and had the dynamic, as amazing as this is, had the ability to materialize themselves as males who went about seeking out the most attractive females before the flood and marrying them, actually marrying them, so-called, marrying them and having this offspring. This is in your Bible. We saw it in Jude and elsewhere. Genesis 6, Jude, all the rest of it, documents this event in which they produced these Nephilim that were hybrids. God let them do it. Satan obviously orchestrated it. moving on. When Christ was this is also in a Peter in 1 Peter 4:6. Even to those who are dead, the gospel was proclaimed. That following Christ's victorious proclamation, we gave that last night, we documented it, he ascended from the center of the earth directly into the third heaven, taking with him the souls of all of the saints that were in Sheol paradise. They got quite a trip, didn't they? And all these believers heard the victorious proclamation, and they were summoned, and they were supernaturally in their souls transported from deep in the earth all the way to the third heaven. And when Christ came with them into the third heaven, that is the first time that he appeared in heaven in his body. And all these individuals were suddenly brought into heaven. Because prior to this, no believer died. And like since Christ's coming and resurrection, no believers died and went directly to heaven. They went to this resort, this nice place, of all places, very unlikely, you would never guessed it, deep in the center of the earth. Remember the story of Abraham talking to the rich man across the gulf that was fixed between the two, and no one could move between the two places. Now I know parts of this are completely mysterious. You will have to talk to him when you get to heaven, because we will not go there. We go directly face to face into the third heaven when we check out with an angelic escort. So all of Sheol paradise was vacated. leaving behind all the unbelievers and these angels that had engaged in this scheme to contaminate humanity, and putting angelic and human DNA into the human race, creating these Nephilim. Then, for the very first time in his humanity, he appeared before his Father, where a divine decree I might have that wrong too. Bear with me. The very first time he comes to heaven, the Father makes a pronouncement. And that pronouncement is that this is my beloved Son. Today I have begotten him. Now all this occurs on a Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Remember, his resurrection occurred in the early, early morning hours of that day. Which I gave you in the notes. Also, so after that, he immediately left, leaving all the souls in heaven, and he immediately left and came back to the earth and appeared to his disciples over a 40-day period. And then he made his final ascent into the third heaven, where he is seated, being viewed by off of the last part of the earth that he touched physically was from the Mount of Olives, and that's the first part he's going to touch when he comes back. The same place, same locale, just east of the city of Jerusalem, the higher ridge there, the Mount of Olives. Now, when did he, on that Sunday of his resurrection, when exactly, precisely, did he go to the center of the earth? And I have this wrong in this point. And so, again, all this occurred not early, correct it, late. In the late waning hours of Sunday, April 5th, 33 AD. And for documentation on this, you need to turn to Luke 24. If I see something amiss, I'm not going to just blow it off based on human pride. Luke 24:13. The preceding is dealing with activity of the early visitors to the tomb. The women that first came, because they had to hurriedly prepare the body for burial, and they didn't get to do everything that they normally would have done for a deceased person. It was an exercise in futility because he'd been raised from the dead. But all the disciples, I don't see any exceptions, were doubting Thomas's. They were, it didn't happen, blah, blah, and all of it. The Bible doesn't pull any punches. Psychologically, they were bummed out. But there's a part of them that couldn't give up on it. I know you and I look at it and think, man, you can't not get that. But I got believers. I've seen believers just like this. They got ears, but they're not listening. Anyway, Luke 24:13. These two believers, two individuals. These women came, Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, the mother of James, not Mary of Jesus, And they were telling the disciples what they saw at the tomb, the empty tomb. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. What? And they would not believe them. And then it talks about Peter getting up and running to the tomb. Peter didn't quite, even when he saw the actual physical evidence. But anyway, that's not the one I want to. I want to start with 13. Now, the day's coming to an end. This is sometime in the afternoon. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They got a 7-mile walk. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place, rehearsing it. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with him. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened in these days? He says this to Jesus. You don't think that's funny? Okay. You are permitted to chuckle, okay? Are you the only person that doesn't know what's going on? And he said to them, What things? He plays along with them. And they said to him, The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. The crucifixion factor, not the resurrection. And they did not find his body. They came, saying that he had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. That's true. And he said to them, he rebukes them. Still, they don't know it's him. Got it? O foolish men. You'd use the harder word, stupid. There was sufficient, more than sufficient evidence for everybody to be on cloud nine with regard to this resurrection thing. But even after seeing and hearing the reports of the women, and also they still were real sluggish and self-induced misery. O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. That's what I'd like to say to all the Jews out there today. You're slow to embrace all that the prophets have spoken. Your prophets. Jewish. That's how they evangelized the early Jews in the synagogues. They went in and started showing them these scriptures about the Messiah, the suffering Messiah who would be raised from the dead, blah, 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 and all the other particulars. Who do you think this is talking about? All that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Is that not in your Old Testament? In your prophets that you revere? And they approached the village where they were going, and he, Jesus, acted as though he was going further. But they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it's getting towards evening. Now there's the key. Well, that's one of them. It's getting towards evening, and the day is nearly over. For the Jews, it would be our 6 o'clock. But the day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. This was a very brief time. He goes into their home, when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. Okay. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Boom. Spiritually, their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. And boom, he vanished from their sight. The way he broke the bread. Isn't it funny, some of the triggers that get people over the hump? They'd been around Jesus. They'd seen him having meals. And he had a distinct way of breaking bread, I presume. A style about it. A deliberateness about it. Rather than just, oh, here's your bread. And so their eyes were open. They recognized him. He vanished from their sight. Do you think that's rude? No. The mission was accomplished. They were ministered to spiritually. They come out of their blue funk. And they had the complete opposite emotion. It's like a sea change from one extreme to the other. Downcast, depressed. And now they are on cloud nine. And even though it's late in the day, they said to one, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? Those who were with them saying, the Lord has really arisen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he recognized them, was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. They got this special situation. So he immediately, after that, that's when he went to the center of the earth. Now this doesn't have to take very long. This isn't like, even though there's a huge distance and all is involved, it's easy for God to do this. It's easy for him to go, boom, center of the earth. Make the victorious proclamation. Short and sweet. And all the believers go out of there with him. Let's go. Children of God, let's go. We're out of here. We're going to heaven. The one you've heard about all your lives. We're going to go there now. And that trip wouldn't have taken very long. And as I said, he stayed there a short time. So he immediately returned to the earth and began his 40 days of post-resurrection appearances. 69. Jesus Christ appeared in this remote realm, demonstrates the theme of his lordship, which concludes this theological section. The phrase, who were disobedient, is parallel to the angels when they sinned, of 2 Peter 2:4, and the angels who left their own domain, Jude 6. It refers, of course, to their sinful liaison with the prettiest women of the time. I know some of this is repetition, but I have found that you have to. So you can see this. These men were the envy and admiration of negative volition. Men, I call them. And there, as were their offspring, the Nephilim. Nobody smart enough to say, this isn't right. Yeah, there were those that saw through it. From Enoch, I think it's about the time of Enoch, this attack began. They didn't go in and kill people. They didn't go in and rape women. They courted them, married them, and had these children, this offspring. The human race consisted of three groupings. At this time, we'll call it the human race, for lack of a better term. First, there were the gods who appeared as benefactors and civilizers. They didn't come on as, monsters. They're going to benefit civilization. We're going to do some good things. That softens people up. And I think they brought and had some skills. I think there was a lot of things that went on that we're just going to have to wait in phase three to find out what exactly all did they did. Because they've been finding stuff on Earth that doesn't make any sense. Structures and other such things. Remember, at this time, the human race was not believing that the Earth was a spinning ball running around a deal. And they didn't believe that. That came much later. So they were gods who appeared as benefactors and civilizers, showing mankind a better way. Good cop, bad cop type thing. That's what it was. They were personable. Now their offspring wasn't all that nice. The Nephilim. These are some bad kids, as far as I can tell. They're like certain animals. I think that they can mate a lion and a tiger, or a horse and a donkey, but you get a mule and that's it. That's what I see. Then there were their impressive offspring, who exhibited physical abilities that were superhuman. They were noted for their exploits that were the talk of the people. It was entertainment and all the rest of it. I don't know, I'm just a student of all of this, but in Genesis 6, 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of men came to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Oh, do you see him? Rah, 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 rah. Oh yeah, it was impressive. As impressive as humans can be at their best, these were more impressive. Much more. Providing a lot of entertainment for people. But out of this mess, the human race was contaminated. There's the bad cop. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was greater than the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Things just absolutely went downhill. It was not a good time to live. Sounds like today. And the Lord was sorry, repented. They'd made man on the earth, language of accommodation. And he was grieved in his heart. This is language of accommodation, attributing to God what a human would experience. Okay? I'll blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, earth, and from man to animals to creeping things to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And that, we'll not pursue that. Anyway, the evil was so great that the justice of God called for the annihilation of the race, which almost happened, as we noted in our verse. Only 8 people survived. Noah and family. 3 sons, 3 daughter-in-laws, they had no children yet, and his wife. That's it. I don't know how many millions or billions of people were on the face of the earth during this time. God gave mankind a 120-year probation period to repent and stave off judgment. God commissioned Noah, a fully adjusted believer, to call men to repentance or face unprecedented judgment. In Genesis 6, 8, 9, 7, 1. The grace period in 6:3 is referred to by the words, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. That's the grace period. It is further specified 120 years during the construction of the ark. The judgment is going to come, but there's a way out. God always provides a way out for people, whether it's in the tribulation or in any other set of circumstances. He provides a grace period for people to get where they need to be spiritually, if not physically. And for those of you here this evening, you've got where you need to be. Not in every way, maybe. But at least Noah's family supported him. His sons had to have supported him. And the rest of the women, four women, his wife and three daughters-in-law, they came out of that, and so here is Noah engaged in a project. This is in addition to times when he would speak. I don't know how much he traveled or if it was just people who passed by. I don't know that. But obviously, they were really busy building this ark that took a century plus 20 years to complete. Now, I stop for a minute and I think, you had this building skill to harvest this wood, the type of wood that went into the ark, and to build it so it would be able to withstand being swept up. It was more like a barge rather than your typical ship. It was square. I mean, not square, but, you know. I don't have anything. Something like this. You can't see it. Okay, forget it. During this time, Noah's his sons built the ark, warned the human race of the impending calamity, and they specified what the calamity would be. A universal, worldwide flood that will drown everything that isn't in the ark that depends on air to breathe. This is what's going to come. This isn't if, and, or but. And so the people were given a chance to make the salvation adjustment and possibly get on the ark. But he had no takers outside of his immediate family. None. Certainly people could look around and see how bad things were getting, how vicious this thing starts getting out of control. One kind of evil after another starts surfacing. Just like we're seeing today in our world, in our country, and in our world. The old going to hell in a handbag. This is absolutely what we're seeing. The collapse of the institutions, the corruption at all levels. I did see the state of Louisiana, their Department of Education, public education, passed a rule that said that the Ten Commandments have to be posted in all the classrooms. Well, that's an exception. I'm sure there's a bunch of people screaming and yelling about that one. I also saw that Blinken, it's a good name, Blinken was suggesting that we were going to give Ukraine, who are we? We're going to give Ukraine permission to do military strikes into Russia. Does this sound sensible? Apart from anything else? Yeah, go poke that bear some more. It's all falling in place, ladies and gentlemen, royal family. So you stay in Maranatha and you stay under face-to-face teaching. I don't care what friends, family, the past is the past. You can't drag them along. But if I had them and they came around me, I care about them, right? I'm not going to overlook stuff. People have come back. And they could too. And get over your damn pride. It isn't going to do you any good. It isn't. When you fail as a believer, you confess it to God. If you have to apologize to someone, you can. And I don't want anybody apologizing to me. I don't require any groveling. If they come in with the right attitude, I'm gracing them out like nothing ever happened. And I got a couple people who can tell you that. I'm going to befriend them, and I'm just happy as I can be. You know, they snapped out of it. So I don't feel comfortable being around people that I have to watch what I say. No, I ain't going. I tell them, your pastor teacher was right and I was wrong and I got back on track and you need to too. We're at the end. Don't harden your heart. Don't do that to yourself. But in any case, I'm moving forward. And I'm certainly not going to sit around people who do this. I don't want to hear it. I want to fellowship with those that are like-minded. Not just on five things, but not that one. And make an issue of it. You say you care about people? Well, you're to be a witness before all mankind. An unbeliever, believers, ex-mayor, Nathans, whatever. The ones that came up to me say, I'm not going anywhere. And you did. Who are you? I don't mind someone saying, I plan to stay by the grace of God and not let my sin nature and whatever drag me down. You know? A little exhortation. Maybe it'll help. I don't know. I do have some that are making noises about getting back here in the city. Getting under face to face. And I believe they're sincere. Pray for them. I'm not going to say their names. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. Fine. One individual and one married couple. Getting back here. So pray for them. They're looking for property to purchase in Bethany. And we're trying to help them. So keep that on your prayer list. The grace period in Genesis 6:3, oh, I gave you that, is further specified as the 120 years of the ark. During this time, Noah, his son, built the ark. And Noah warned the human race of impending calamity. 2 Peter 2:5. And he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a communicator of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood on the world of the ungodly. And of course, when the flood hit, these angels, who had been there for however many centuries, they were taken and put in Tartarus. Hebrews 11:7 and by faith, being warned by God about things not yet seen. That's like us. We live by faith, but we've been warned of things that are impending and coming upon humanity, not yet seen. In reverence and respect, prepared an ark for the deliverance of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So he's in the He's in the found approval chapter, Hebrews 11, and he soldiered on. And 10 years go by, this thing's starting to shape up. It's going on. I'm amazed at the technological. You got to cut wood. You got to make it fit right. You got to do all this stuff. These people weren't a bunch of dummies and Neanderthals, whatever that is. People before the flood, they had skills. The ancient people had skills. I've seen some things recently. The Romans, they're featuring it on my MSN and stuff. Now they're doing Marcus Aurelius, one of the Roman Caesars, around the 160s AD. Marcus Aurelius. Some of the statues they built, one of the columns they built to him, it's still standing there, and it's all intricate, around in circles, like layers of a cake. And it's got animals of all kinds and everything. Somebody made that. It's mind-boggling. And all the other construction, some of these things are still standing, you know. They find these homes of these people, the well-to-do. Wow. Okay, they didn't have cell phones. Okay, they didn't have telephones. But they had an ability to do things technologically, craftsmanship, all the rest of it. Anyway, his message was universally ignored. And mankind continued in their everyday pursuits as beasts for the slaughter. Like dumb animals. And sometimes animals are smarter than humans in some respects. Their survival instincts. The description of the days of Noah in Matthew 24. The coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to. But this is their thing. Eating and drinking. Marrying and giving in marriage. At least they're following the divine institution of marriage. Making big deals of it. And how much money is spent in America in a given year in the marriage and marriage business. Lots. Billions. Okay. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the party's over. And they didn't understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. In spite of my and others who are teaching the details with regard to what's coming, they're out here having fun, shopping, getting married, putting all this stuff wrapped up in it. And sure, some of it's entertaining and beneficial. All these food networks, they're all over. I mean, whoa. Yeah. And who doesn't like food? But the thing is, they won't take time to come to 4 Bible classes a week. And then you got to apply, of course. You can't just, you know, think that just because you were here, yeah, you made an effort to get here. Good for you. You know, and by the way, you know, I'm more lenient maybe than I used to be. If you happen to be late, I'm not upset. That's between you and God. And if you're not feeling good and have to leave here, use the restroom or whatever, by all means do so. I'm showing you the ground rules. People say, I'm sorry I was late. Well, okay. But the thing I like to say is, you got here. I don't know what went on out there. Lots of things can happen. And some have a bigger burden to bear than others. Certain all by themselves, and all they got to do is jump in their vehicle and boom, they're here. But I have other concerns, and I understand that. But this needs to be your priority. And if you have to miss, of course people have to miss because they're genuinely sick or something comes up, we got it here for you. And in less than an hour, and people will watch television until they pass out. I am not one of them, and I'm not trying to be self-righteous. It just holds no interest for me. I can research things online. I like to listen to music, but I don't like to listen to a bunch of people. Rah, 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 rah. Look at this beautiful house we just built and remodeled. Okay. You're not going to live in it very long the way it looks to me. You got your priorities upside down. And you're going to be like the people in the days of Noah. They wouldn't listen. But when the water started falling out of the sky and they mocked this man, it doesn't rain. It didn't rain before the flood. They didn't even get a little shower. I got another point I got to correct. I'll get over it. But I'm not doing it tonight. Eventually the patience of God runs out and the justice of His essence kicks in. Hardcore negative volition spurns His goodness and His mercy. Romans 2:4. Evil reached a saturation point in the first 1536 years of the Antediluvian era. The 1656 year period is based on a computation of Genesis 5. The last 120 years were devoted to the construction of the ark, which served as a growing sign of impending doom. As this impressive structure took shape, you could see it. They didn't have a bunch of mountains. They had a bunch of stuff hiding stuff. The topography was different, way different than it is now. And the word spread all over. Oh, that's pretty impressive. Look at that thing. Wow. And as you get closer and closer to the final touches, special doors so animals can get in there. I wonder what people thought when the animals started heading there. And I've worked that out in my own mind. The animals were not the full-grown ones. He wants to perpetuate these species, these land breathers. They were the juvenile, the smaller version of an elephant or something. And God put it in their animal brain computer. Let's go here. He didn't have to go out on safari and capture wild animals. Huh. Even the wild ones, the ones that are meat eaters, they behaved themselves. They behaved themselves. God, it's a miracle over these things. We've seen examples in the Bible over and over again. If you went through and tried to find out all the examples in the Bible of miracles associated with animals. Balaam's donkey rebuking him in perfectly intelligible language. His ride. His donkey saw something up ahead of the road and just... And Balaam's beating the hell out of him trying to get him to go. You go study that story. I don't have time for it now. Balaam was a Gentile and he was a prophet and he was a believer. But he loved money. And it got him in trouble and it got him the sin into death. But he was a genuine prophet. During this time, Noah faced rejection, total rejection from the cosmos. The text draws our attention to the fact that there were precious few who heeded the message and acted on it. Only 8 individuals had the requisite positive volition to enter the only place of absolute safety on earth for land-breathing creatures. Only eight. That's another example for us that I have to tell myself, get your eyes off numbers. We had this auditorium filled at one time. I say we. God had this auditorium filled at one time. Okay. So it may be shocking that at the end, right before the rapture, and I don't know what's all out there. I know what is out there that isn't any good. I know that. And don't give me some, oh, there's some wonderful Christians. Yeah. Tell me what their church teaches. How they approach the Bible. What the content is. Don't tell me there's nice people. I know there's nice people. That isn't going to cut it. It's the doctrine in your soul. The truth that we all should be embracing in these last days. See you Sunday. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name.